our first performer tonight.
By an enthusiastic applause. I know a lot of you are Peter Mulvey fans. You know this self-described city kid from Milwaukee. You knew about his 2,000 release that's over with Poets. His most recent 2007 Notes from Elsewhere, and the Knuckleball Suite and Pitch Radio and Redbird. Some of you probably even have his 2001 CD, 10,000 Mornings, which was an album of cover songs he recorded entirely in the subways of Boston, where he used the bus. Great album. The nicest quote I found about him was from the Washington Post. It said, as cover worthy as Randy Newman, Elvis Costello, and Dar Williams, what that was called. But I found something that wasn't listed in the program that just struck me as amazing. Last year, from September 10th to September 20th, he did a tour called the No Gasoline Tour. I swear. He did an entire concert tour by bicycle. And it wasn't just like Connecticut. He was in southern Wisconsin. Now, it's a long way between coffee houses in southern Wisconsin. And he did it on his bike. That tour was sponsored by Wheel and Sprocket. They set him up with the Rams recumbent bicycle, a custom aluminum guitar carrying rack, courtesy of mechanic Bob Young. And they helped him with promotion and advertising. I think that's one of the coolest things I've ever heard. A Fulton tour on a bicycle. He's doing it again this September. He told me he's going to be coming east a little bit. I didn't get exactly how far east he's coming. But if you know he's going to be in your next town, jump on your bike, ride to the show, and then tell him you did it. He would love it. And we love having him here tonight. This is really a big treat for me. I love his stuff. I'm sure you do too. If you would please welcome our first kickoff performer of the 2009 season, Mr. Peter Mulvey.
I don't think I can describe how glad I am to discover that I was not sexy background music for him, for Mark's college. I'm so pleased.
How many should have, not so many hours we had left between us. For too basically well intentioned people, it seemed to me a failure just to meet us. Is it a lack of self-regard? Should I be so hurt? I wanna know. What's enough? I am listening. If love is not enough, so what keeps the moon bright? What keeps the ocean glistening? All you say is you, I say is me. If love is not enough, tell me what else can this be? When I get up to see the power that we got, know there's only one question that I will bring. I say, hey, how can two same people look at the very same love? Cause each two completely different things. Oh, it hurts to say the heavy stuff, so we say it lightly. I am amazed at how often I get the fool smiling even less lightly. But it's Saturday. Oh, it's my birthday. I wanna know. If love is not enough, then what's enough? I am waiting. Tell me, is there something I should know? whistles to bottoms of skating. These days you say it's me, I know it's me. If it's not enough, then tell me what else can this be? But it makes me want to scream. I quit, I give up, I would call my way up out of this bad, bad dream.
Yeah, because I love you still. I love you still. I love you so much, I guess.
But I'm talking about love. If love is not enough, then tell me what's enough. Sick of the burns on my body from the good love. Seem to explode every time it seems to get near me. What else can I say?
What else can I say?
Love is not enough, then we move. Go on, love, no, no, no.
He's doing a set of his own over at the Whaling Museum around 3 in the afternoon tomorrow, I believe, a little bit before then. I don't know when I'm going to be there, because I noticed on the schedule that I have a gap in my schedule, and I can go see Art play. I say, Art make art. Yes. That was called If Love Is Not Enough, and it's, it's on a record, the oldest record that I have over there, which they asked me how old it was, and then I just went dial tone for about 30 seconds until, and then I realized that that song is 14 years old. So it's really starting to give me trouble now. It doesn't want to listen to anything I have to say and thinks I'm stupid. That song does. This song is new. This is something that I wrote in my head in a car in Indiana. I seem to have spent an inordinate amount of time in those three places combined. But this is called Some People. And it goes like this.
Some people go to the synagogue. Some people go to the woods. Some people go to a shrink. And they think everybody should. Some people go crazy in plain sight on the streets of the neighborhood. And I go, Some people go to Washington, some people go to the moon, some people go to a timeshare on the shores of the secret lagoon, some people go the whole distance, some people go out way too soon, I just go, Some people go for a nice sandwich, some people go for a song, some people could go on forever and some are gone on too long. And some people go and they put their heads in cryogenic spaces, and some people go too long without getting laid on a regular basis. Some people go Allahu Akbar, some people go Namaste, some people go Peace be with you, some people go Way hey hey, some people go I know exactly what God is thinking no matter what you say, and I go
church, and some governors go to Argentina and get their reputations besmirched, and some people go away from the altar just to leave someone in the church and not go. And some people go by
bicycle. And some people go by truck. Some people go for the lady. Some people go for lady luck. Some people go har, har, har. Some people go yup, yup, yup. I just go, there's kids here. Some people go from home to work to home. They watch some TV. They brush their teeth and they call it a day. Some people wish they had that life, and some people have that life, and all that they can think about is how to get out of the way. And some people they go lightly, and some people go heavy as hell. Some people go, you know, this could all be better. Some people go, this is all just as well. Some people go to the mountains and get their souls rung like a bell. I just go,
some people go, all will be well, and all will be well, and all better things will be well. I just go,
That one verse used to be about Larry Craig, Senator Larry Craig. It used to be some senators going to airports. And I have a feeling that that verse is just going to be the gift that keeps on giving. I don't think I'm ever going to run out, man. My word. It's been quite a season. Here's a... Maybe I should explain. I began on stage at the age of seven. I was in an all-roller skate production of the musical Oklahoma. It took place at a Baptist church in my neighborhood in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I skated counterclockwise holding up a sign that said, "Poor Judd could slap hogs with the best of them." That was my job. And then a little bit later than that, my parents gave me a guitar that year. And then I saw Victor Borga on the Muppet Show, and it was all over. My fate was sealed. So I auditioned when I came of the age to do this thing. I auditioned for a scholarship to college that Liberace had put together, called, creatively enough, the Liberace Scholarship. And for some reason they gave it to me, so I was educated in method acting at the hands of Jesuit priests in Midwestern University. And this next part is not true. When you get that kind of an education, they make you sign an agreement that you will go and be a subway musician in a major metropolitan area for a little bit. So now we're back to the true part, which is that I moved to Boston and I played down in the subways, 1992, 3 and 4, 5. Oh, man. I'm And I was down there, playing as I did every morning for the people on their way to work at 6:45, you know. And I had what the Jesuits, and for that matter, the alcoholics, refer to as a moment of clarity. And I burst into song. Inside the tunnels, the stone tunnels, are the trains. And inside the trains, the steel trains, are the bags of skin. And inside the thin skin are the blood and the bones. And inside the blood and the bones are the dreams. It really is that simple. It really is that fragile. One such dream inside the blood of the bags and the bones and the trains and the tunnels, and there is a dream sitting next to me, and there's a dream across from me. Fragile. Now we all know that one day the tunnels will crumble and the trains will stop and the blood of the bags and the bones will all be gone. And in between now and then, we know something must happen to every dream. I don't know what will happen to the other dreams, but I know what will happen to me. Sure as the rain, I know. Sure as the winter, I will breathe and grieve and struggle and strive and love and love and love and
if I'm lucky. Once, but just once, the dream will drop to the floor like a vase and shatter in shards of silence. But I will see in the pattern of the pieces, I will see something. Now this will happen. But for now, that train with all its precious cargo rolls on. Thanks. In retrospect, you know, nowadays I realize that's a heck of a lot to lay on people at 7 in the morning on their way to work. You know, that's a bit much, frankly. I mean, if I had to do that all over, I think I'd be, you know, it's not the film that excites me. Just give them a song, send them to work, you know. But then that's because I've been working for the last 17 years. So there it is, you know. So you live and you learn. Yeah, the bike tour thing. Oh, God. Yeah. I don't know if you know about this. It is so painful to travel 100 miles by bike on a day. It's the stupidest thing I've ever thought of. It's the only way I've ever thought of talking to anybody. You know, it's just horrifying. And then next year I do it again, and the next year I do it again. So this September I'm going to be traveling out to Boston from Milwaukee. I'm going to take the ferry. So I am going across Lake Michigan on a ferry, but then it's Muskegon all the way to Ann Arbor, and then all the way across Ontario to Buffalo, and then Saratoga, and then Boston. It ends up in Boston on September the 24th at Club Passy. And if you want to do it, that'd be great. My friend Jeffrey Folkoff is going to drive a Hummer behind me the whole way to sort of offset whatever I'm saying. That would be great. Here's, speaking of Jeffrey, good Lord, here's a song about his hometown. And my hometown gig, a place called Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, about 50 miles west of my town. A little joint called the Cafe Carp. We've been both playing it maybe 15 or 20 years. Cafe Carp is Latin for seize the fish. I set out to immortalize the joint in song. I need to write a sequel to this song, because this one is it's quite florid in the details of how the people are, how much I love them and how much of an enchanting place it is. But I should really write a song from the perspective of their kitchen, which, like most kitchens, is hell on earth. It is a warm summer evening. I can just hear the knuckle balls sweet. It is a warm summer evening. I can just hear the knuckle balls sweet. And I hear the clover hum. Rain clouds flying in their feet. This town is a talisman. It's a vanishing breed. The town is a talisman, and we are a vanishing breed. But our song is a first-year viola lost in the weeds. The old cafe. Billy C is drinking Sandy Man Port down at the old cafe. The little river goes by slow, the little river, and it likes it that way. Sandy's barefoot in the backyard, going out to that starboard pine. Barefoot in the backyard, calling out to the star of a kind. Tonight the star answers, Sally with the wine, Sally with the wine. go cafe to sit with Bill and drink the sand of that floor. It's a warm summer evening, all I hear is the knuckleball sweet. It's a warm summer evening, all I hear is the sweet. And I hear the clover on the lawn, and the red clouds are fighting their feet. Clover hums along the summer evenings of where we all used to be. These warm summer evenings are where we once and again shall all meet. If you think we shall all meet, which I do. Thank you. Two or three years ago at the New Bedford Summer Fest. It could have been 8 or 9 years. I've reached this point. I don't know if you have, where everything that happened to me 8 or 9 years ago. Like every night, I was in high school 8 or 9 years ago. I bought a house 8 or 9 years ago. Apparently I bought a house while I was in high school. Very forward thinking. Got married, apparently in high school 8 or 9 years ago. You know, all of it. So I was here maybe 8 or 9 years ago. And it was probably two or three, but I got to do a song swapping around with a great Irish fiddler named Kevin Burke. He's one of my musical heroes. That guy can play. And at the time, I was lucky enough that I had written all these 1 minute songs. I just went through this 1 minute song kit, and he played right after me, so I didn't have to wait long to hear him. It was fun. But here's a tune somewhat related to that. This is a tune that I think I wrote. I'm convinced I wrote this song. I could be wrong. I wrote this when I was maybe 17 or 18 years old, so well over 20 years ago now. And at the time, I had not traveled much in Ireland, but I have now done many, many tours over there in Ireland. And now this tune sounds ripped off from old Irish fiddle tunes. So it's either a strong argument for there being some sort of a genetic component to songwriting, because my name, Mulvey, is the Irish word for bald. So yes, it's nice to have your future clearly laid out. But the other option is, of course, that I did not write this at all. You know, I keep expecting to play this out west somewhere in Clare, you know, or, you know, Connemara, and just to have someone come up to me and say, "Nope, you didn't write that. Frankie Lane wrote that back in 1826. That's a melody called the Milkmaid Buxom Nephew."
That's what I call it, at least. And all my records, Leslie had all my records for sale over there. Right? And she's, there she is, and she's got a hat and a scarf and all that stuff. And actually, Maria's records are over there. There appear to be t-shirts, and I know I don't have any, so those must be Maria t-shirts. That's it. Those are good, those are New Bedford Summerfest t-shirts. Holy smokes, there's a whole stimulate the economy. That's what I am talking about, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be over there. You can just come and say hi. You actually don't have to buy any of my records if you don't want to. That would also be fine. You now know what I sound like. I'll be playing tomorrow. I'm doing this wonderful song swap called Man Smart, Songs from the Perspective of Men. And the fun part is that I'm doing this apparently with John Borka and with Stephen Fearing and Cliff Everhart. So and apparently I'm the workshop leader. That's hilarious. That's awesome. We're just all going to be speaking in the bottom halves of our registers and just being glad that Greg Brown isn't on the workshop. That's what we're going to do. Here's a song from a woman's perspective. Come all ye fair and tender ladies, be careful how you court young men, for they're like a star on a summer's morning. They'll first appear and then they're gone. They'll tell to you some far from story. They'll tell to you some girl in the life. And then they'll go and court another. For that other one passed you by. If I had known before I courted, that love it was such a killing crime, I'd have locked my heart in a box of gold. I'd tied it up with a silver twine. Wish I was some little sparrow. I wish I had wings for to fly so high. For I'd go away to my false true lover. And when he's talking, I'd be by. Be careful how
summer's morning. Their first to bloom, and then they're gone.
I learned that tune off of a bootleg of actually Upgrade Crown of all people, playing at Cafe Cart of all places. It's actually two tunes. That's a melody called The Silver Dagger and a lyric called Come All You Fair and Tender Ladies. Both of them are attributed to the American tunes from Appalachia, which just means that they're Scottish. On the other hand, I wrote this whole tune myself with my good friend David Goodrich. This is called 29 Cent Head. Thank you for coming. I know it's a disturbing title. As quiet as a tone, and the fools on the screen, they try to get each other into bed. It is a $40 haircut on a 29 cent head. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. Can I get something else instead? Because them shapes in the bed are the senator and the CEO. Which one of them is on top? Wouldn't we all like to know? Father's got his hand on the altar boy's knee. The choir is preaching to us now, and the choir wants us to agree, but we just don't get it. We just don't get it. We just don't get it, but the notice don't come free. Because every election feels like a perfect crime. Like they think they can fool all the people all the time. They say the water is not rising, but look at them. The shoes are soaking wet. They want to drive us crazy, but we ain't crazy yet. We just don't get it. Bring me the architect that invented the strip mall. Let me shake the architect's hand. The shops are full of nothing. The streets are full of fear. And tell me now that we're all connected, how come we don't feel near? Oh, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But you can't get there from here. They got 1,000 talking heads. They all want to tell us where it's at. But when we look behind the curtain, look for where the puppet master sat. Well, there's just an empty chair. The puppet master's gone. The puppet's on the stage. The strings are cut. He's lying flat. And I just don't get it. I still don't get it. I just don't get it, and I'm vaguely proud of that. I just don't get it, and I'm kind of proud of that. I hope I'm gonna get it. Exactly 21st century sensibilities. The reason for all this is probably my dad. He was born in 1939 on a dairy farm in Sheboygan County, Wisconsin. And both of his parents were born in 1898.
And so my dad grew up in this entirely different world from us. You know, by the time we, his sons, came along, he was an urban person. He was a social worker with the Department on Aging in Milwaukee County. But his childhood took place, pragmatically speaking, on a just completely different planet. And whenever we needed a story, we would turn to him. So I was writing this tune with my friend Tinny Gearing, a great, great Boston songwriter named Tinny Gearing. Oh, that's great. Yeah, so you know, I'm over there at Tim's house and we're working on this tune. And we had this character, and we knew about her was two things. We knew that she was a stranger, and we knew that she was not looking for you. And that may not seem like a lot, but that's what you want in songwriting. Like, the less the better. You just two dots on a piece of paper, draw a line through them, and just follow into the darkness. This is going to be great, you know. But it sucked. We just couldn't make anything happen. We're not working. So we put it on a shelf. And then, some months later, I sent my dad an email from a motel room in Saratoga Springs, New York. I said, "Dear Dad, do I remember this correctly? Did your family hire the gentleman to blow up a boulder behind the farmhouse when you were a little boy? And could this gentleman's name possibly have been Dynamite Bill?" My dad apparently got very excited by this because he wrote back in about 10 minutes. He wrote back and he said, "Dear Peter, he was Dynamite Bill, and he learned his methods/skills in one of the wars. He was about the age of my parents, and so it must have been the First World War. And he not only blew this boulder up out of the ground, but caused it to split into two equal pieces, plus the many inevitable fragments. His fame was that in Frankie's department store, the local department store, he dynamited the elevator shaft without disturbing the contents of the store. And also, if a horse or a cow died, he would haul it away and process it into wheat for the mink farmers to feed to their men." You can imagine how I took this information in as an air envelope. It was something to talk over with the other fellow grade schoolers. Anyhow, Peter, so many stories, so little time. Love, Dad. It's a sobering thing to discover that your father, a farmer and a social worker, is a much better writer than you are, having not tried it his entire life. Because he's not verbal like that when you talk to him, you know. "Hey, Frank, how's it going?" "Oh, shit, yeah." Yeah, there were no consonants in that sentence. So anyway, I wrote this in the next 5 minutes. This is called Dynamite Bill. Keep your eye, though, on the stranger. She was just a stranger, she was just a stranger, she was just a stranger too. She was just a stranger, she was just a stranger, she was just a stranger too. She was just a stranger, she was just a stranger, she came into town looking for a manger. She was a stranger, she wasn't looking for you. And she was shining like the city, like the city, like the city, like the light of a city by the sea. Shining like the city, like the pretty, like the light of a city, like a shining sea. Shining like the city, like when I was half lit up like a half-ass Christmas tree. Shining like the city light, she wasn't looking for me. Her name was January Bentley, she went off with Muhammad Ali. January Bentley, she went off with the little boy Muhammad Ali. January Bentley, not particularly deadly, she was shining like the light of a city by the sea. January Bentley, she went off with Muhammad Ali. She was looking for Dynamite Bill. Dynamite Bill was standing in the back of the room. Dynamite Bill, Dynamite Bill, they're standing in the back of the room. Funny, you never think you're gonna need Dynamite Bill. So may something happen and you find you will need Dynamite Bill, because you gotta make something go boom. Thank you.
So now January lately, a dynamite little and a little boy, Muhammad Ali, they ran off to Honolulu, maybe as the bureau, maybe to the spot, as the eye can see. The dynamite building might be living there still. That means that's what the little birdie whispered to me. January lately, dynamite little Muhammad Ali. She was just a stranger with an element of danger. She came into town as though looking for a manger. She wasn't a stranger, she wasn't looking. She was just a stranger, she wasn't looking for. She was just a stranger, she wasn't looking for you.
Thanks very much. That one was fun to write, and my dad loves it, so that's all good.
It's good to be here. We are. It's July, and I'm so pleased about it being July. I'm playing every July for the past 10 years. I've played this gig at the National Youth Science Camp in Bartow, West Virginia, which is right near Durban. Which is right near the town of Frank. And this is an incredible gig. The National Youth Science Camp, what it is the top two high school science seniors from each state in the United States of America. And then there's always some kids from China and some kids from England and some kids from Germany. And they bring them all to this rural, you know, summer camp in West Virginia, because all these kids, I mean, some of these kids are 15 graduating from high school. And if you're that smart, you know, the Pentagon already knows who you are, and Monsanto already knows who you are. You're going to be turning, you know, monomers into polymers with ultraviolet light in a lab somewhere in Boulder, Colorado sometime soon, you know? But they bring them to this camp before they send them to MIT, you know? They bring them to this camp just to be kids, to have summer camp, you know? And they have science lectures and all that, but they have, mostly it's just summer camp. And then midway through the camp, they put them on these two yellow school buses. And they bring them to over this ridge and down to this valley. And they walk them out of buses and over this slope and down to this swale where there's a river. And there's a tree right by the river that has a sort of an opening underneath its roots. And that opening leads to a passageway which leads well into the earth. And then that jars to the left to another passageway which goes way into the earth and opens up into this enormous underground cavern. And then they get them all, you know, 110 of them and the staff and all that. They get them all seated on this tarp, you know, in the pitch black, you know, dark subterranean. And then they turn the lights on, and I'm there, and I play a show for them. So it's pretty much exactly like this, only we're underneath West Virginia, and you're all 17-year-old geniuses. I mean, you look great, and I'm sure you're very bright. And then I just get to hang out with these kids, and man, there's some extraordinary children there. I mean, they're all smarter than, you know, pretty much anyone you're gonna meet. I asked this one kid, I was like, so where are you from? He's like, I'm from Arkansas. I'm like, how'd you get here? He's like, well, Arkansas is just whoever wins a science fair. I'm like, really? What was your science fair project? He said, well, I designed a molecule that, it doesn't physically have a ratchet built into it, but it effectively does. Electromagnetically only allows itself to spin in one direction, which is not exactly perpetual motion, but man, it sucks heat out of the other molecules. I'm like, wow. Because I made my guinea pigs drool every afternoon at 2 o'clock. That's the little I was working at. The real reason I love the camp is that I get to visit with Vlad, the astrophysicist. Every few years, my visit there coincides with his. He's an astrophysicist from the Czech Republic. He lives and teaches now in Seattle. Vlad and I just get along famously, probably because I love astrophysics, and he loves music, and we love beer. In fact, we had found some beer at some Heineken at a gas station several years ago. And we're sitting right behind the little motel there outside the grounds of the camp. We're drinking beer. We're looking at, you know, clear, beautiful, beautiful, cool mountain sky full of stars, just millions of stars. And I said, Vlad,
I have always wanted to know the answer to this question, and you strike me as the only guy I'm ever gonna meet that's gonna give me a decent guess, so I guess I'm ready. Lay it on me, pal. Are there intelligent civilizations out there? And if there are, why haven't they contacted us? And Vlad looks at me in the dark and he goes,
that is two questions.
Because the first question is easy to answer. The answer is yes, many. I mean, given the number of stars, the abundance of amino acids, wherever in this universe you look, very likely many, many civilizations have occurred. No, the real question is why have they not contacted us? That is the question. And the answer is difficult, but here's my best guess. You must use your imagination. And he held his hands out like this and he said, imagine that the entire universe is only this big, only about the size of a beach ball. And now imagine that all of time, 13.5 billion years from the Big Bang until now, imagine that that goes by in, say, 5 minutes. Now on that scale, consider us. We our intelligent civilization. Yes, we make radio waves, rocket ships, baseball, bluegrass music, box sonatas, clearly an intelligent civilization. But the question is, how long do we last? Another 5,000 years? What? Another 50,000 years? Another 5 million years of this, yes? It does not matter. On the universal scale that I have asked you to consider, those all look the same. They look like this. So, he said, here is the universe, and now here are the intelligent civilizations as they arise in the universe. They go like this. You see? They never meet each other, because time is too long, because space is too large. I mean, sure, maybe at one time it happened that two civilizations sprung up right next to each other, and they got to know one another, and they had war. Better yet, they had peace. They had arts exchanges. They had an intergalactic library. They are all dead now, too. We are alone. And by the time the next civilization arises, we will have been gone for a long, long time. I said,
wow, man.
Vlad, can you make another beer? That's all I got for you. Thanks so much. I'm going to finish up with this. You saw that. Thanks so much. Thanks for the summer fest here. And welcome back to the town. Houdini is still stuck in that Dr. O book, the one place he can never escape. And boy, it's on the phone, it's like one of those paintings where everything loses its shape. The little girl across the street, she's light on her feet. She is sunlight bouncing off chrome and me. I am sad, 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 and I'm far away from home. I was standing on a Dublin street corner. I heard a fiddler pierce the veil of illusion. And once I got plastered at my best friend's bar mitzvah. Once I lived in total confusion. Now once I was 11. Now once I was just atoms. Now once I was a hilltop in Rome. Now I'm sad, 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 sad. And I'm far away from home. Cry out for a painter to paint it while the wind.
Peter Moby.